खागे जिसे पी आखरी रे माया जे महा तोरा उना रोग अखीखरे आने हो वकंदा शी से नीने वाकीरो के हाखागे ना शी हो से मीने माया जे Oh, it is Wojciech. Money. Wakanda star, he hawina. He pee money. Yeah, Maya. Oh, Toriko is dark enough. Oh, Wakanda. King Giro now. King of Greece. Oh, what's he doing? Or she, women of Bahuja. They call this the soldier dance woman. Soldier dance they had. Oh, why is she there? Why? Age. Droge Ahimina. Washini. Ugrahaha. Umina. Dragi Oyo. I remember that so plain as day. What used to hurt me is to hear my grandma pray. I'm glad that I had teaching from her. Sometimes Wakanda Ihawina, we go along this in this world. Hawina so these dakina ho hero dawasa I achewis kunita. Ikina tangra da doarane, bi akhri ani, the four winds. Ho, hamiya so hakina, maya. Tangra da hahina hakake watohe. Mister kiki ani no wakanda. Washike ari nahe, so piki wo haki te haki. Ho, ikuni. Once you get Arastana, Istata, Piokitata, Ani. Ho, Vasun, Ditara, Suki, Doi, Ara, Anina, Lasky. Grandma always says, if you're a good person, you can have a lot of friends. Ho, Wakanda, Mista, Ki, Anina. She'd Kroske, Akali. Oh, broke he viarani. No, Wakanda stahi hani. Baku jesta. He dokida he hawina. Oh, Wakanda he hawine. Try to pray. Hey, ye no, Jesus. No, we da wina, mi ke hi wa ki ro hi wina, wa du sang in hi wa ki ro, wa ki bi ta na he, ai no ni hu we de. Maya jegi wo chekhi hai no ni buvire Maya jegi wo chekhi
Franklin Murray telling what it is to be an Iowa.
Mahojimika. Okay, okay. Chuka, Kunichu. Kreina, that's. 우환입니까? 나의 나이는 군이시 바호제 나의 디레피 인간이 아이소 우타이가 아니 나의 디레피 만토 아예 다음 아니 만토 오키고
then be found in the infant's world, is alphonic by definition one. There is thus neither contrast nor neutralization among these initial conjunctions. Of course, if one hypothesis B is shown to begin with as the initials of Wagen and Schrecken respectively, no rule would be involved at all, neutralizing or otherwise. Thus far, we suggested that there is a direct correlation between whether a rule is neutralizing and whether its output is unmarked relative to its input. Thus, in a class of well-motivated, phonologically conditioned rules, two or four logically possible configurations of rule status and output are excluded in principle, namely, neutralization rules which produce exclusively marked segments and allophonic rules which produce unmarked ones. These exclusions are indicated by an asterisk in the schema listed as 21. We maintain that these constraints are the functional principles of phonology, which explain why a particular rule may be found in one language but not another. Whether a rule consistent with these constraints actually is found in some language is doubtless due to various factors bearing on the language's history and phonetic naturalness. But phonetic naturalness alone, for example, is not sufficient to explain why one language maintains the rule of an endophthalic stop one thing and another does not. Our explanation is that the phenomenon per se is phonetically natural for all languages. However, the only languages that can exploit the natural phonetic tendency for an endophthalic voicing are languages like Korean, and unlike English, for which inclusion of such rules is not consistent with the marking constraint. That is, Korean voice to endophthalic stops because the production of these relatively large segments is accomplished through an allophonic rule. English does not, because if it did, the same rule producing relatively marked voice stops would affect the neutralization with the set of phonemic voice stops, and this neutralization would violate the marking constraint. Now let us consider some of the theoretical implications of this hypothesis and its interaction with other theories that have been proposed. A theory incorporating the Markovnikov constraint claims that permissible phonological rules can be distinguished from impermissible ones by considering only the interaction between a rule's function, that is, whether it's neutralizing or not, and the relative markedness of the input and output of the rule. But it does not consider the positions within a word or syllable in which particular rules apply. Relative markedness of segment types is determined only by reference to typological universals regarding phonetic and phonemic systems, regardless of the positions in which various segment types are found to occur. Other recent phonological theories have proposed that phonological rules be constrained in terms of the types of changes they may produce in particular environments. In their theory of natural terms and grammar, discussed by Penemar 1971 and 72 and by Hooper 1974 and in many other places, all segments in a language are arranged on a hierarchy according to their relative strength. All rules which apply in syllable initial position must be strengthening rules, and all rules which apply in syllable final position must be weakening rules. In the simplex feature hypothesis proposed by Sanders 1974, distinctive features are unary or simplex, rather than binary or complex, and all phonological rules involve either the insertion of features or segments or the deletion of features or segments. In this theory, all rules which apply in word initial position must be insertion rules, and all rules which apply in word final position must be deletion rules. In both of these theories, a particular rule changing a segment type X to a segment type Y would be considered either a strengthening or weakening rule in natural terms of grammar, or an insertion or deletion rule in the simplex feature hypothesis, and would be restricted as to the position in which it could apply accordingly. Both theories then correctly predict that rules like aspiration rules, considered as either strengthening or insertion, may apply only word or syllable initially, and rules like deaspiration, considered as either weakening or deletion, may apply only word or syllable finally. However, both theories would have problems with situations in which the rule changing segment type X to Y exists in one language and the opposite rule changing segment type Y to X exists in another. Such a situation would be disallowed under either theory unless relative segmental strength and the choice of distinctive features for a language-specific matter, in which case it's not clear that either theory would have any empirical content. Situations such as the one that's described do exist in natural languages, and we suggest are correctly predicted by a theory which incorporates much involved in assertion of those pieces in the same position. However, a theory incorporating the Martinist constraint predicts that we should find situations exactly like the ones described in 22. Examination of the languages involved shows that the rules in 22A1 and 22B1 are neutralization rules, and that those in 22A2 and 22B2 are allophonic rules. Since we have already seen that high vowels are unmarked with respect to mid vowels and general nasals are unmarked with respect to labial or velar nasals, the neutralization rules change marked segments into relatively unmarked ones, and the allophonic rules change unmarked segments to relatively marked ones. Thus, these examples provide support for the Martinist constraint over the theory of natural sound disparameter and its complex feature hypothesis. While we have argued that neither of these two theories alone, without recognizing some equivalent of the Martinist constraint, can predict the variety of different types of rules that are found in natural languages, it is also true that the Martinist constraint alone does not disallow certain types of rules that apparently do not occur in natural languages. With respect to rules at particular types, the Martinist constraint restricts the function a rule may have, but does not restrict the conditions in which it may occur with that particular function. Consider the schema in 23, which gives examples of some types of rules conditioned by position that would be allowed by the Martinist constraint, where asterisks are used to indicate rules that are not known to occur in natural languages. It can be seen in 23 that the Martinist constraint, because it does not refer to position of a word or syllable, allows certain types of rules for which there is no empirical support, in particular rules like initial deaspiration in a language like Hindi, or contrast between aspirated and unaspirated stops, and intervocalic devoicing in a language like English, or contrast between voiced and voiceless oxygen. It appears then that an adequate theory of phonology must restrict phonological rules by referring to position, in addition to by incorporating the Martinist constraint. Either the theory of natural gender grammar or the complex feature hypothesis combined with the Martinist constraint might provide such an adequate theory of phonology. But the type of situation outlined in 23 can also be explained by a principle of language restricting neutralization rules to final position of words or perhaps of syllables, while allophonic rules may apply in any position, either initially, usually, or finally. It is as yet unclear whether assimilation rules are subject to all the same constraints as their non-assimilatory rules, or what the types of constraints are on rules affecting vowels, where the level of stress appears to be more relevant than the position in a syllable. But based on the cases we have examined at this point at least, it appears that allophonic rules apply in all positions within a word or syllable, but there do not seem to be any clear cases of neutralization rules applying word initially or word medially, other than in syllable final position. A comment is in order here. Concerning the types of rules listed in 23, according to the Martinist constraint, any rule voicing oxygens must be an allophonic rule, because it changes relatively unmarked voiceless oxygens into relatively marked voice ones. Such a rule, though, presumably could apply in any position within a word. Voicing of oxygens in this view, then, would be expected to occur in word final position as well as in intervocalic position, although most other phonological theories explaining that only final devoicing of oxygens and not final voicing are permissible phonological processes. However, a recent study by Steyer, 1977, provides evidence for just such a rule of final voicing in the Siouan language of Dakota. Steyer shows that voiced and voiceless oxygens contrast only morphing initially in Dakota, but that intervocalically within morphing, stops are voiceless and fricatives are voiced, while word finally stops are voiced and fricatives are voiceless. Even though the facts here regarding stops are contrary to expectations based on notions of phonetic naturalness, it does appear that Dakota must be analyzed as having a rule of word final voicing of stops. Further, this rule is allophonic since there are no contrasts involving voicing that are neutralized by application of the rule. If this analysis of Dakota is correct, the language provides a counterexample to many theories of phonology which disallow final voicing of oxygen. However, assuming which incorporates the Martinus constraint, this allows final voicing only if it's neutralizing, but allows such a rule if it is allophonic. As uncommon as this situation appears to be, we take the existence of an allophonic rule of final voicing of stops in Dakota to provide strong support for the proposal suggested in this paper. Because of time considerations, I'm not going to read through our section on historical linguistics, but let me just summarize briefly. A theory incorporating the Martinus constraint predicts that it's not possible for an allophonic rule to become a neutralization rule, or vice versa, unless one or two other things happens at the same time. Either the output of the rule is modified in some way, so that, for example, an allophonic rule producing marked segments becomes a neutralization rule producing unmarked ones, or the rule in question becomes morphologically conditioned and thus no longer must abide by the Martinus constraint. We illustrate the second possibility by discussing the development of umlauts in the Germanic languages. In summary, we propose that the Martinus constraint and its corollary, together with the consequence of our definition of segmental Martinus and its corollary, constrain phonologically conditioned rules so that 1. All neutralization rules produce unmarked segments, 2. All rules that produce unmarked segments are neutralization rules, 3. All allophonic rules produce exclusively marked segments, and 4. All rules which produce exclusively marked segments are allophonic rules. Given these constraints, it can be determined by examining the structural change of a particular rule and the phonemic system of a given language, whether that rule may be a rule of that language. We have further claimed that a theory incorporating the Martinus constraint is a more adequate theory of phonology than ones which only constrain particular types of rules as the environments in which they may apply, although we have noted that some type of restriction appears to be regarding the position in the word in which neutralization rules may apply. Finally, in the section that I did not read, we have shown how instances of historical change are consistent with and governed by the Martinus constraint.
While the other is merely conceived but is not endowed by this mark, must have to be modified. In a definition which Roland Jakobson and I have come to in connection with our book on the sound shape of language, in both grammar and phonology, the marked term is opposed to the unmarked term by its continuing focusing character, by its closer concentration on a certain characteristic. In phonology, in distinctive features, the marked term is opposed to certain, whether positive or negative, perceptual sound properties hold to that the unmarked term, and accordingly characterized by a restricted selection of contextual conditions or terms, whether in sequential or compound context. In this respect, then, in the opposite of the view shown, bond market being non-continuous, non-native. The ways in which these statements have been formulated shows up another characteristic of marketing. It is context sensitive. It is not the case, for instance, that voicing is marked everywhere, but rather that it is marked in obsolete but unmarked in bond. Thus, plus board in the concurrent context of plus continental is marked, whereas plus voice in the concurrent context of plus italic is unmarked. Other examples of context sensitivity are the markedness of compactness and consonance, could and could are marked as good, could and could, while compactness and vowels is unmarked, ah, could, and could, and could. Similarly, tenseness is marked in consonance and unmarked in vowels. These two context sensitive types of markedness point out another important phenomenon, namely that the distinction between vowel and consonant is a fundamental one. Markedness values are often reversed within the two systems. But even in, within one of these two major categories, markedness reversals can occur. Thus, in the consonant, within the unmarked front consonant, gravity is marked, the bilingual stop is marked in positive tension to the dental stop. Whereas within compact consonant, gravity is unmarked, the velar stop is unmarked in positive tension to the compact stop. With respect to this, it should be pointed out that markedness relations have often been based on the order of acquisition of features in child language. And this has sometimes been used as evidence for the unmarkedness of bilingual stop versus the dental stop. However, if one looks at continental systems around the world, it is generally the dental series which is the more elaborate, that is, better focused, and the more frequent in terms of lexical and text frequency. Again, markedness should be defined on the basis of its fundamental character, not on those phenomena which are consequences of it. A further characteristic which is important to keep in mind with respect to markedness is the difference between distinctiveness and redundancy. In French, for example, stop and fricatives are distinctively opposed as tense to last. And I agree to my plus and appreciation into the other. While voices can voice only redundant. The redundant nature of the latter is particularly apparent in case of assimilation. The tense last remains as distinctive and voices is assimilated. Number one in the handout, French acheter has a tense and voices short. French acheter is last. In certain Swiss German dialects, the only distinction is tense last, with both phonemes being based on voiceless. Russian, on the other hand, displays one voiceless distinctive opposition with only minimal reinforcement of tense last. In such cases, it is also important to realize that the marketing values are again reversed. In languages with a voiceless opposition, it is voice and nature marked, while in languages with a tense last opposition, it is tense. This is borne out not only by Caroline's studies, the implication of universals, frequency counts, as well as the changes, similar to the best and so forth, but also by what happens in languages which use both oppositions autonomously with a three-term system. In such languages, it is a combination of marked tension with marked voicing, which is argument, number two on the handout. Only rarely does a four-way system occur, number three on the handout. In some cases, however, it is not clear which feature is distinctive and which is redundant. And then it is the combination or synthesis of the two features which is distinctive. And in such examples, there is no direct marked-unmarked relation. Such examples include the typical five-vowel system with two front unrounded vowels, two back rounded vowels, and one vowel central vowel, and four handouts. For some languages, but not all, it is the syncretism of front unrounded, which is distinctively opposed to the syncretism of back rounded. Furthermore, the ah, the unmarked vowel of such systems, is neither front nor rounded. In such cases, there is an equivalent opposition between the two series, with neither series being unmarked. Such also is the case often when one of the features in question is distinctive and the other redundant. In the examples mentioned above, a lax and thus unmarked stop is redundantly voiced, marked, whereas a tense and Mark's job is redone for voices, that is, unmarked. Likewise, the optimal stop, unmarked for being non-continuous, is non-striving, or marked. Whereas the optimal privative, marked for being continuous, is striving, unmarked. Bifurcations of this combination is a striving non-continuous, that is, absent, or non-striving continuous, that is, reprivative, are rarer in language of the world. Apparently, the differential marking of the formulas is susceptible to existing aspects more clearly. In connection with marking that directed to the work of Irina Mezzi-Shmili and Thomas Dunn-Kalisa, both on the handbook, who have done extensive work on this topic. I'm going to skip the next example with respect to the interrelation of marking and interrelation. I have only one more thing to say. In general, the distinction between neutralization and alphabetic alternation as described obscures, it seems to me, a very important generalization. German, in at least some of its dialects, has the following inventory, that is number 6A on the handout. Thus, in both initial and final position, the tense last opposition is neutralized, or better, a defective phoneme occurs, being non-distinctively tense final and non-distinctively last initially. Now, as it happens, the final S alternates with D in certain morphemes, while the initial D does not. In other words, the defectivation is used grammatically in final position, but not in initial. Or the German grammatical morphemes occur at the end of the word. Now, in other dialects of German, the S in medial position occurs after a short vowel of this one, and Z after a long vowel. In other words, there is a general tendency, which has reached its conclusion in some dialects, to reduce the phonemic inventory of German. At that point, all is alphonic, number 6B. It seems to me that in calling initial C alphonic in both cases, while differentiating